Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, Building and Protecting Your Business One Podcast at a Time, a CatSource family production. In this episode, we discuss Avabot, going against the grain, and persistence. Our guest today is Carl Finch. Carl is the owner and CEO of Avabot. Avabot is a SaaS platform that helps startups and small businesses build their software solutions that tailors their business needs in a fast, automated fashion. Using Avabot proprietary technology, anyone can build their dream software by following a three-step wizard within Avabot to have a system auto-generate the source code for their web app needs. Carl enjoys building new disruptive technologies that haven't been thought of yet, and he currently lives in Asheville, North Carolina. With Carl's compelling stories from the software industry to building his business, we are excited to share his story with you. Let's bring him in, Carl Finch. Carl, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives podcast. It is great to have you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So, Carl, there's a lot of amazing things you're working on. And one of the things I think you like to do more than a lot is disrupting industries that exist out there. What got you so into just finding ways that you can make an impact in business?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I didn't really look at it as a business perspective first. I just looked at it as like, man, if we built this technology and somehow got to scale up and it blew up, we could change the world. That was the original idea behind my first startup.
So you're thinking big.
Oh, yeah. Grandioso ideas that,
okay.
That probably I could have a psychologist talk me down for no lie. But after learning some methodologies and getting a grasp of reality and getting grasp of the business side of things, I said, well, we can disrupt this industry that disrupts by building Avabot. And now I'm on my second startup.
Okay. And so you're doing startups, and now are you focused on certain industries, or are you really just more developing software or different ideas that might disrupt industries? You're not even sure where that it might apply to, or do you have a focus on a certain industry?
Right now, the startup is focused on a very specific industry, software.
Okay.
The software industry.
Okay.
We're focused on the industry that disrupts industries.
Got it.
And we think if we can build something that allows people to validate the market faster, quicker by prototyping the software faster, quicker, then they're disrupting their industries quicker. And we're supplying those tool chain for them to disrupt.
Okay. So you're disrupting and you're helping the disruptors in a way with your skills.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you think, and maybe this is an easy answer, but maybe it's not at the same time. I think things pull in many directions often. Why is disruption just such a, in many respects, it's a buzzword, but in other respects, it's like the reality of what we live in, right? Like, why is that word just so important right now?
I think it's due to the zeitgeist paradigm shifts that you can create when you disrupt industries. I noticed this whenever my first startup was in healthcare space. And whenever I presented my software to some doctors and showed them it was this easy to book an appointment or have their patients book an appointment with them, it was this easy, and demonstrate the process of booking an appointment with my mobile app versus the old compartmentalized phone call way. Their eyes lit up like a kid in a candy store, and you just knew you were onto something. And if you could make that change, you could disrupt the industry, buzzword, but you could bring a positive change to the world overall. And those are the problems I'm trying to solve. Those are the problems I'm trying to take my tools, my methodologies, my skills, my experience, and solve those problems. And I think disruption It's a very, it, I think it's, it, it's you, you know, the buzzword's used a lot in the startup because there's a very positive, very giving feeling when you're working on a problem and solving it. And you're coming to a solution and you're like, okay, this is it. This is going to work. And you're feeling good about giving to the community.
I think that's important how you say it, because so often I think the word disruption has a negative connotation to it. Well, you're out here to take people's jobs away. You're out here to ruin lives. You're out here to change, you know, not you, but specifically, but just people who use that word disruption. And it's actually the opposite for you and for a lot of people, that you're actually, no, you're trying to make this thing better. And you're trying to make it better, not only for the businesses, but for whoever the end user may be in that industry or in that business, if you will. And I think that's an important aspect. And like I said, at the very beginning, we started chatting about LinkedIn. I mean, you come across right away about making positive change. It's not a, you know, a negative change. It's a positive change. And yes, things are going to be impacted and jobs may change. And maybe certain people, that job doesn't exist anymore, but then it maybe creates new jobs. I don't know. But I think it's important that the way you say it is you keep going to that positive aspect of it.
Absolutely.
Is that what Ababot is all about then? Is, you know, making positive change, because you have this skill set and understanding that many people just do not have. And so Ababot is your avenue to go ahead and make those changes.
Well, first, I appreciate the compliment. I wouldn't consider myself with a, you know, acquired skill set, but just years of experience, I guess. Ababot is a very positive change because, like with Mr. Shane Snively, you know, he contacted me on LinkedIn and he has this app idea where he's creating this financial advisor app. I can't really go into detail about it because I don't really know the details about it except from the examples he hosted. But, you know, I said, yeah, we can generate that app and then I can, you know, build the calculations from your Excel app and put it into the app that we auto-generate, and you can have a mobile app in like 24 hours. And that's a very positive feeling to give, you know, to have some entrepreneur realize their dreams and have it delivered in 24 or 48 hours at a very fast, you know, pace scale, because entrepreneurs' mindsets should be all focused on, at least with me, is I believe they should be focused on lean startup, get it out there as quickly as you can, and, you know, run A/B tests, iterate the processes and refine the software, and then get out there again and just iterate through that process of getting it out to the community. Like, even if you're releasing broken software, that's okay, because you're still building a community around that software and you're getting feedback, which is important, and you're getting, you're building a community. So I, you know, Ababot's, is my way of taking my skills and my tools that I've built and say, here, community, here for all entrepreneurs, build your app in 8 minutes, validate the market, and then if you need to refine it, come back and rebuild it in 8 minutes. It's using the lean startup methodology as a mindset and really building tools around that to validate markets quickly.
Well, I think it's important that you say that, because we talk with a lot of different, what do you call them, let's say it's an entrepreneur, the extreme version of what an entrepreneur is and starting a business and creating something from scratch. And then you have people maybe in sales, or, you know, they're like the quasi entrepreneur, maybe work for a company, but they're, you know, they're still in the eat what you kill mode, or they're trying to create something new, but they continue to pause. And it might not even be software. So I'm going to take it away from software for a second. I don't care what it is you're creating. It could be a blog post. It could be a side hustle. It could be anything. And we've all been guilty of this. I mean, I waited for a while to start my business, but had to wait my time. I felt like I was doing it right. But I see so many people waiting, and they don't want to send it out until it's perfect. And I've reached out to business owners and say, hey, how's that idea? Like, they share the idea, they got the concept, they got the logo, they got all these things ready to go, but they've never shipped it out. They've never put it out there, whether, like I said, whether it's a blog post or software or a brand new business. And we're still working on it. And maybe that is the way. Maybe it'll work out, but years later, still nothing. And I think it's important that you say that. You have to have some sort of, like, I don't know what it is, but like, I don't know if it's guts or whatever that might be. Just, I'm going to put it out there at this point, because like you said earlier, you do have the skills, right? But it's that experience that you've been through it that you're like, hey, I feel like I can put this out. Even if you don't have the experience, a lot of young people who don't have that kind of experience, but you can create yourself a lot of experience if you work a lot longer, right? If you work many hours and work in the middle of the night or whatever it takes, you might not have the years, but you have the minutes behind you. And I think it's important that you say that it's time for people to put stuff out there and use the feedback, and don't, you know, turn away just because you got one negative review, one negative feedback. Use that as a positive. So I appreciate you saying that and sharing that. And it sounds like that's what you've done. You know, you're on your second startup. You've gone down a path of, it hasn't always gone your way, right? Like, it sounds like you might have gone through some of your own trials and tribulations to get to where you are now.
Oh, definitely.
There's a kind of a last question I ask a lot of people on our podcast is, when's the moment you told yourself you need to make it happen and didn't give yourself any excuses? Like, I want to go to that now, because I feel like you might have had these moments multiple times, and I think it's important that we dive into that a little bit.
Right. So I was in a 6-day coma back in 2011 in April, I believe. I don't know the month. I was in a coma.
Yeah, I was gonna say. We're gonna get you that excuse, was, right?
Right. Well, that's a good excuse.
That's right.
I was in a coma.
Yeah.
But anyways, I was working on a contract for GWDocs.com. I was the lead engineer for that entire website that they were putting up at the time. And I was in a coma, and I woke up, and the first thing my grandmother said, first thing my grandmother remembered me saying when I woke up is, "Where's my computer? I have work to do." And they're like, "People usually just rest after waking up from a coma." And I'm like, "Well, I've just been in a coma for 6 days. I just slept for 6 days. I want to work." And that's always been my mindset with work, you know, it's because I'm addicted to it. And that's the kind of mindset you have to have as an entrepreneur. You have to have the persistence and be addicted to the work. You have to, like, you know, you just died, but I'm still going to work. You know, you have to, I mean, I have to be incapacitated or completely dead for me not to work. And what started my first startup is, you know, doctors saying, "Hey, guess what? You're on dialysis now." I'm like, "Oh, wow. That's not good." So I guess that's a grim perspective. But I looked at it as a positive light at saying, you know, not like I get this to all my friends and my mentors who've been teaching me for years. I say, you know, 99 years is a long lifespan for a human, but in 99 years is just a flash in the pan for how many years the Earth has been revolving around the sun. And I mean that in the sense that you have 99 years of, you know, life left. That's not a lot, really. And so you should get out there, do the things you want to do, because you may get hit by a bus tomorrow and die. So that's how I look at life. And the things I want to do in life is solve problems that I find very interesting, that I believe no one's working on. It's just stay persistent. That's been my motto for as long as I've started being a software engineer.
Well, it's a simple outlook that you have, but it comes from, you said it before, it comes from experience, right? Experience of the work that you've done, the software you've worked on, of being in a coma, of hearing horrific news. And, you know, it's easy for us to say, as I look outside and I see there's a main road down in Charlotte that we're on. And I mean, cars are just, we witnessed a hit and run in front of us. And like, literally we could tell someone, like you just said, you might get hit by a bus, or you might actually talk to someone that actually did get hit by a bus, or maybe not exactly hit by a bus, but they were in a coma for 6 days. And then they can feed you to say, listen, that line that you just talked about, 99 years of the earth revolving around the sun, like it's such a minor amount of little amount of time when you really
want to
stare up to the sky in the middle of the night and like feel small for a second, do that. Mm-hmm. But to come from not me or someone else, come from someone like you who's been through those true experiences, like that gets me excited, right? Not excited, but like for what you went through, but excited to think like everyone needs to get off their ass and just go make it happen. And, you know, I think we're all guilty at times of complaining and being frustrated and whatever else, but like there's good days and bad days. Like we gotta go make it happen. So I appreciate you being real about that and making that happen. And then you going out there and just saying, on the most simplest level, like I want to solve problems and make it better for everybody. And it's real. Like I don't see the fakeness in it. I want to take you real quick, and I don't know if you can share the story or not. I'm assuming you can, but I love when there's a story behind something that people don't know that story behind it. And it's not essential that they know what the story behind that is. And so there's like a picture you might have, and you know, I have this stuff and it's on one of our websites, and no one really knows the story behind it unless they ask about it. Or if it comes up in conversation, then they'll share it. And like, I can tell you all sorts of things that were going on in that picture. So I go to your website. Shane tells me about your company, and I go to your website. And he's like, you got to check out this guy, Carl. You got it. This guy's fascinating. We spoke for over 2 hours. Like, just take a look at it. So
four
I go
hours.
To it.
4 hours.
Oh, it's 4 hours. Okay, not two. It doesn't surprise me between the two of you talking. Like, you could get going. I think that's amazing, though. Not everyone can do that. So anyway, I go to your website, and then I go to your LinkedIn page, I think. And there's this picture of you that's on there, and I'm like, my first thought, I'm just being honest, I'm like, man, why has this got this picture up there? Like, this picture is like grainy. Is that him? I don't know. Who is that guy? Right. And I'm looking around and I'm like, I did think, I promise you, I thought like there's more to this picture than I can tell. But I don't know. I don't get it. So I asked Shane, and Shane tells me the story. And could you tell us the story real quick about what that picture was about? And if, you know, people are going to go to the show notes and you can see, and you can go to you can go to Carl's website and you go to his LinkedIn page, and you'll see exactly the picture we're talking about. And I'm hoping you now, Carl, can share us and what's going on in that picture.
The picture you're referring to is when my hands kind of up in the air pointing to a board behind me.
Yeah, you're like standing up and it's kind of far away and a little grainy. Yep.
Right. That was a .NET meetup group in Raleigh, and I was teaching them how to utilize the .NET Core CLI.
Okay.
I was teaching 60 developers in that room that day I was doing a little blitz, what do they call it? Kind of like a blitz course where a blitz talk, that's what it was, blitz talk, where I stand up for 10, 15 minutes and try to teach people how to use the technology in 10 to 15 minutes, which is a challenge itself.
Right.
And demonstrate, you know, my knowledge and expertise of that tech and try to demonstrate how to utilize that technology in 10, 15 minutes. So that's what that picture is about.
Okay.
And that's basically when I knew I made it, because I stood up in front of 60 other developers that are all, you know, fascinatingly smart in their own right, and Raleigh, the, you know, tech central hub of the Southeast.
Yep.
And I'm teaching 60 developers who came to this meetup about .NET Core CLI. And I got a 60-person standing ovation class.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just a 10-minute blitz talk, but I've kind of made it at that point. And I know the path I'm on is the right track.
That's it.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that because you don't know that that's what's going on. But then if you can put together this podcast and hopefully people can get a sense of who you are and what you're all about, and then they go to the LinkedIn page, they go to your website, they see it. This isn't fake. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not doing this to get liked, likes, shares, follows, any of that kind of stuff. You're doing it because this is what you do. You're seeing the problems that exist and you're fixing them. And you've done it through all the experiences you've been through, both professionally and personally. And I think a lot of people can learn from it. And just like you said, I would understand you're very smart. You have a complicated way of looking at things, not in a bad way, but in a good way. But it's so simple as to what you're doing. And then it all applies to this one principle of just being persistent. So it can be as complicated as your software can be as complicated as you want to make it. But it could also be just a simplistic view of where you're going and how you get there is just by being persistent and not stopping and loving what you do, right? It's easy to say.
Definitely.
And be addicted. And it's like not a bad, like, yeah, there's bad addictions, of course, but you enjoy it. You enjoy business. You enjoy the work that you do. And I think that's because what we try to do is we want to get, whether someone is an entrepreneur or someone's interested in just entrepreneurialism or, you know, it is an entrepreneur, that they can listen to this and pull things from it.
I like to spot talent and cultivate it. And if I see something, like if I see someone and, you know, they're interested in technology, but they've done something that's esoteric or obscure with technology that you don't hear many times before, you know, I'm like, hey, I want to know how you did that. I want to know how you did that, and I'll tell you how I would have done that. And then I'll try to find you a position in my startup. because when, you can spot an entrepreneur, you know, because they think differently. They have that entrepreneur mindset of, oh, well, here's this problem. I'll solve it, and then I'll charge, you know, pennies to the dollar for my solution. but you can spot talent like that, you know, like you can spot an entrepreneur.
Here's something we're excited about, a sponsor for our podcast, but not only a sponsor, a marketing client of ours at CASCM. But know this, any business we put our brand behind, we believe in. And our sponsor for this podcast, The Peculiar Rabbit, located in Plaza Midwood. If you live in Charlotte or visit the area, you must check out the Plaza Midwood area. So many great spots, and at the top of the list is The Peculiar Rabbit. And while there, make sure to stop by Jackalope Jack's. I call Jackalope Jack's a bar's bar. And then for entertainment, go next door to The Rabbit Hole, known for its live music and events. So the next time you're looking for good eats or drinks, The Peculiar Rabbit is your spot. Tell them Cazsaur sent you. What I want to do is get into a little bit more of a quick question, quick response type of thing, but knowing us, we're probably going to dive into some of these topics real quick too. And this is an important one too, because just getting your interest outside of what you do, I'm going to take you outside of running your software company, Avabot. You don't do that anymore in this world that we're going to live in here for a few seconds. What career would you be in if I did that?
Working at Microsoft R&D department.
Okay.
Because I have to work at the cutting edge of technology at the front line of, you know, we're doing something new that hasn't been done, worth of, you know, frontier technology and science and it's all coming together.
This is a follow-up question to that. There's a lot of incredible, you know, companies out there, and you named one of them, Microsoft. Why Microsoft? Mm-hmm. Why not Google? Why not Apple? Why not Facebook? Why not some of these other places?
One of the co-founders of Microsoft, Paul Allen, is probably one of my biggest mentors besides Elon Musk. because he battled with cancer and beat it during the years of Microsoft growing. And I really admire him for that.
Okay. So it's a history. It's like a mentor that you've followed. You could read books. You can follow him in other ways, right?
I try to emulate Paul Allen and Elon Musk to the T.
Okay. I see that. I mean, I see the Elon. It's funny, too. You weren't there for this, but when Shane's, he told me about it, and then we chatted about you and what you're working on, and I brought up Elon Musk. I never talked to you before, but somehow Elon Musk came into the conversation and us talking some more. It's, I've never talked to Elon Musk. That'd be cool, but I see it. I see what you mean by that. I'm going to jump ahead real fast because of what you just said, and if I might come up with different questions here because this is a fun conversation for me, but I'm sure you've read Elon Musk's book. Maybe not. I don't know. Is that a book you would recommend other entrepreneurs to read if like they could only read one book? Or what book would you tell someone, entrepreneur, that they have to read?
I have seen phenomenal success reading and implementing The Lean Startup by Eric Ries.
Yeah, and that's a book that's talked about quite a bit. You see it out there if you hear about entrepreneurs getting started. You hear about entrepreneurs kind of redoing what they have going on in their business. That's a book that is you see a lot, right? A lot of entrepreneurs are recommending it. What is it about that book? Is that something that you started with and go back to often as you build your business and are in your second startup?
I didn't start with this book. I wish I did start with this book with my first startup because I would have made all the mistakes. But after I had my introspective time period, I went back to my developer mentor. I'm like, all right, what do you recommend I do to fix this problem? And he said, well, there's books out there. Go read. You know, because every time I present to him a problem, he's just like, well, duh, the answer is obvious. Read a book. And so I'm like, well, what book do I want to read? And I just did a search like, successful startup methodology from fail method, from a failed startup. And I got IMBU CTO Eric Ries, learned from his failures from IMBU, from what they did, and did a study and did all this research and collected all this data and came out with a lean startup methodology. And other startups applied that methodology. Dropbox, $1 billion valuation. Good for Drew Houston for applying that methodology or telling his team to apply that methodology. And I think it's because I think the startup is so successful because a lot of entrepreneurs, and I don't want to offend anybody because I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this podcast, but a lot of entrepreneurs have this grandioso ideal of how great their product or service is or will be in the future. And you have to have that mentality. You have to have a vision. But what the lean startup methodology does is it says, okay, you have a hypothesis. Let's build the minimal viable product. Let's validate the market with that and let whatever customers come to the minimal viable product to help us build that. Let's get insights. Let's get telemetry data to analyze what the service or product we're building, what value it's building, what service we're building, is it bringing value to the customers? Are we validating the market with objective data? And if at any point you see customers are not coming, all right, well, you have an option to persevere and say, well, the customers will come, but I would say that's a dumb option. Or you can pivot. You can change the features of the product or service that you're trying to build or have out in the market,
or you can pivot. You can either pivot the type of people you're targeting within the market, or you can change the product altogether, or add a little feature, or remove a feature. And that's why the Lean Start methodology is so successful, because you're building the product or service from the ground up with the customers at the same time. So basically out the gate, you have a customer. And if you don't, then you're doing the Lean Start methodology incorrectly.
And business at the speed of thought, Bill Gates. He talks about like automation and A/B testing, and the companies that are going to succeed in the future. I mean, I would say he kind of predicted the Lean Startup methodology in that book, but I wouldn't as far as to say that, because his approach to the A/B testing, the collecting data, automating systems was after the business had already been established. But you could extrapolate that.
And Microsoft, in many ways, you know, maybe they, I'm not saying they were disrupted, right? They've always been an enormous company, but maybe other companies came in there and then they maybe went to disrupt themselves. There's been a lot of change and a lot of growth within that company, it seems like, for the last few years. A lot of changeover with, you know, a lot of it has to do with Apple, you know, allowing Microsoft on their systems. But obviously Microsoft's a company you hold near and dear and obviously do a lot of work with, thinking about the way they would do things and approach it in the way you do things today. So a company Microsoft acquired not so long ago was LinkedIn. From what I understand, LinkedIn is, I usually ask, like, what's your favorite social media app for business today? I believe it's LinkedIn. Tell me if I'm wrong. And then what is it about LinkedIn that you like so much?
Well, for this startup, it is LinkedIn, because it's easier to start a conversation for a B2B type of business that we are. But depending on the product we're producing or the service we're providing, if it was B2C, I would choose Instagram or Facebook as my social network to tap into the consumer market that way. But because my services is B2B, it's LinkedIn, because that's the best social network for business, period.
So tell me about, so you have LinkedIn, and I agree with you, B2B side, just not much comparing it right now. You brought up Facebook and Instagram, you know, both Facebook companies, obviously. And you have a lot of, you know, people in the B2B space who are just business owners or just people in business in general that will make these claims that, well, that can't help me in business, right? They can't direct it. And here you are, you know, leading a software company, disrupting business, clearly in B2B space quite a bit, spending a lot of time on LinkedIn, as you should, but clearly have your eye on Instagram and Facebook with that comment you just made. Why do you think people in business should really be looking at Facebook and Instagram, not just as necessarily a place to see really cool pictures, right? Or hear about what family members are up to or friends are up to, but as like, this is bigger than what people are making it out to be. Or maybe you disagree with that. I don't know. Tell me what you think.
Right. I would say 1 billion people on that network.
Yeah. It's that easy, right?
I mean, it's a numbers game. Business is a numbers game. And you got to get your numbers up, you know. And you also, at the same time, have to build your brand and build relationships. And if I was to build a business-to-consumer product and have a startup that was business-to-consumer, like, for instance, if I made a social media game, puzzle game, that you could play with your friends, I would totally market that on Facebook, totally. Because 1 billion people, they share. It goes viral after 3-6 months of hard work. And I'm just collecting a check every month at that point. I mean, it all depends on
what your business model is and who you're targeting. If you're business to business, B2B, go LinkedIn, because that's the number one network to do business connections with, build business relationships with. If you're business to consumer, well, Facebook beats LinkedIn by, I think, a half a billion users. That you, I mean, there's not too many networks out there that you're like, hey, if you go to this network, you're opening your market to a billion users. There's not too many places in the world, market-wise, where you can just open up that market and there's a billion consumers right there. Facebook, China, India, that's probably about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a numbers game, right? I mean, that's, you just said it at the beginning. The simplicity of yep. it all is, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated like we've been talking about this whole time. What I don't want you to predict the future right now, but I feel like you understand this marketplace, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, social media in general, websites, just software, but more or less along the lines of things that people use every day. Maybe they're everyday type of software. Website, the internet, social media, like, where is this all going? You know, when you go to Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, those platforms want to keep you in their ecosystem. They don't necessarily, they realize that the world does exist outside of them, but they'd rather exist in their world, right? You go to Facebook and you stay in Facebook all day. You never have to leave. Instagram, LinkedIn, same thing. Are websites going away? Is what's the software going to do? Like, what are you guys creating? Or what is someone like yourself thinking as to like the future of this all? Again, I'm not asking you to predict the future, because you could have some person come out there and create a new internet for all we know. I don't know. But the way you see it today,
right.
Like where do you think this thing is going? Because it's changed so much just in the last few years. And we know that rate of change is only increasing, so it's going to change more. I'm just curious as to someone with your mind and experience would think about all that.
Well, if we go back when Facebook first started, we had Friendster, MySpace, Facebook, and probably a couple of niche social apps out there as well. And all these social apps are, well, you know, what they're doing is they're creating a community to drive their ideology. And I think in 10 years, we're going to have much more niche mobile social apps, maybe like Snapchat, Path, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, where you're going to that place to be a part of that community. I think. I mean, I could be totally
absolutely
wrong.
No, for sure.
But I see the social apps kind of just, instead of trying to eat up the whole market that Facebook has already done, I see they're going to start attacking niche markets now, where you'll have a social app for B2B contracts. You'll have a social app for B2C contracts. You'll have a social app for football, fantasy football. You'll have a social app for whatever. And not just to say like they're all going to be social apps, but there'll be a community where the philosophy of social apps derive from. And it makes it to their community and apps.
Yeah. Will the Apples, Facebooks, Microsofts of the world, Amazon, will they allow that to happen? Or, you know, like Facebook was trying to buy Snapchat for a while. They couldn't. Mm-hmm. They got Instagram, right. And they go after Snapchat. And they continue to buy these, you know, anything that's there. They just like the whale, right? Just whatever's in their path, they're just going to buy it. And it's hard for that. You might have the, I'm not selling it, right? I built this.
Mentality. Yeah,
like Spiegel, right? Like, you're not going to do it. But other people are like, you throw, I don't know how much money at it, hundreds of millions of dollars. It's hard to say no, right? So do you think, and I think your prediction's interesting and great. Like, do you think that we can get to that? I mean, government obviously would probably have a lot to do with it. Like, listen, you got to stop buying up and acquiring all these companies. I don't know how they do that. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation probably. But do you think that those large companies will allow something like that to happen? I guess so, if you're saying that this is the direction it might go.
I mean, that's the direction I see it going.
Yep.
From the Snapchat IPO to the path to all these other apps that are, you know, from the, you know, black web or dark web, whatever they call it.
Yep.
Where you can be a complete ghost and but still be social. Don't really get the point of that, but okay.
Right.
but I mean that's where I see things going.
Yep.
I could be completely wrong.
And that's okay. It's hard to predict the future because you don't know what's going to be created in the meantime. Well, just in real quick, because it's a topic that's talked about often, whether it's B2B or B2C space, is websites, right? Websites are great. It's a great place that when I learn about you, I can go to your website and I can see a picture of you, not understand what the picture is until I talk to you, right? And that's important. I could learn about your company. I could get contact information. I get your address. I could read your blog. I could see your podcast, your videos. There's all sorts of things you can do on a website. But like, and I don't remember the exact number, and I could get it and I'll put it in the show notes. We'll find the article, but it's like 50% of all the search of all the internet traffic goes through 75 websites. You know, it's your obvious ones, Amazon, CNN, you know, those types of things, Apple. But like, what's going to happen to your everyday website, do you think? Because the reason, and I'll throw this follow up, because you're talking about these social medias, these communities, like the websites probably should be a community in a sense of, or maybe not, I don't know, but like if all these different apps and communities and social media, whatever you want to call them, like if they come out, right, does it have a chance to change what we know as a website, where like your Instagram profile page actually becomes your homepage, which in many respects, that's what it is right now in a smaller way. But if I have a much better chance of you seeing my Instagram profile page of my business than you ever going to my website.
Right. Yeah, I think these LinkedIn, Instagram, social apps are going to be the landing page that, you know, startups and businesses are going to utilize. Like, you don't know what my web app is, but if you go to my LinkedIn, you can find it.
Right.
And that's kind of what I've used my LinkedIn profile to be. Like, here's who I am. Here's my recommendations. Here's my education. Here's my work experience. Here's what I'm currently working on right now. If you want to be a part of it, great. But, you know, that's why we have these Google groups, Facebook groups, and, you know, they're creating, they're being a catalyst to create these, you know, huge groups that you never would have dreamt in a million years being on your website. And, you know, they, because they have the resources, can, you know, maintain that traffic and resources to allow that traffic to happen. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the next 10 years. That's why I'm, you know,
that's why you're here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But the problems that, the problems that do persist, that will pop up, will be interesting to work on.
That's right.
For sure.
That's right. And that's why you're here. That's why you're here to solve these problems. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to only allow you from this time forward to root for one team for the rest of your life. What team would that be?
Whatever team LeBron James plays for.
Okay. And why is that?
Because he has a work ethic that is insane. And he just, I mean, his hashtag on Twitter, Facebook, strive for greatness. And I mean, that's his motto and that's my motto. And I want to root for someone who only wants to do the best.
Yeah, that's it. And sometimes he's going to encounter failures, right? Like losing to the championship, but that's just the life of an entrepreneur, isn't it? Like sometimes you're just not going to win and it isn't going to get to where you want it to go. And he's going to get back to work, isn't he? Just like you.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're gonna have failures, but as you know, as long as you have that introspective moment and you know learn, and you see that failure of a startup as a lesson, and
continue to strive for greatness using his hashtag, you'll succeed. Because I mean, I don't know if it's a law of probability or just, you know, perseverance, you know, success favors those who continue. But if you continue to work and persevere through the hardships, you know, anybody can be an entrepreneur if there's $1 million in their bank accounts already. Anyone can, you know. It's very hard to be that entrepreneur that's eating ramen noodle, that's eating frosted flakes in the morning, that's not going to the movies, that's not hanging out with friends, that's, you know, staying up 16, 18 hours to read documentation and to write code and to research patents and to file a patent and to learn, you know, business terminology and to learn business methodologies that will help you grow and be successful. So, I mean, success is not for those who are weak.
That's well said. I appreciate you spending time with us, sharing your insight, giving us your story. And it's a real story. And I think that's what draws us to you more than anything else. And just hearing it. I mean, you being in a coma and, you know, like I said before, there's a question we asked, when was the moment you told yourself you need to make it happen? You gave yourself no excuses. I mean, I don't know about it, but if you come out of a coma for 6 days and you just say, I got to get back to work, I think that qualifies for maybe the best answer we've had on that and maybe the best answer we'll ever have on it. So it's very real.
That's the honest truth. You can ask my mom about that.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. I don't think that's anything to joke about, really, right? So I think it's amazing. So I'm honored to be able to chat with you about this and look forward to staying in touch and learning more about you and your business and your partners and everything else that you have going on. And I know the people that have listened to this podcast, hopefully they'll feel the same way. And I know they can find you on LinkedIn. Is that the best way for
LinkedIn,
people to reach
yes,
out to you?
Please.
Okay.
Yes, please. And we're putting together a forum for our website so we can release our software early by using the lean startup methodology and releasing software and then do some A/B testing iterations and fix the things that are broken that our community really doesn't like, and then work on the features that the community really does like and give it back out there to them within 7-day iteration process. And I would just like, if anyone wants to connect with us, just go to our LinkedIn page, which is, I think, linkedin.com/in/CSBench. And we will be happy to connect with you and talk to you and you know, would really appreciate you joining our community and helping us build this Owlbot software.
Well, we're going to put that in the show notes. And I think that what's cool about that is you're practicing what you preached. I mean, you said it all this whole time on this podcast, and here you are. You're actually doing exactly what you said other people should do. So take note, right? It's not that complicated when you think about it that way. But Carl.
I mean, it's a methodology.
Yeah, so that's it. And live it. So, well, Carl, I appreciate it. Like I said before, spending time with us, giving us your story, and we will chat with you soon.
Carl, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From your knowledge of the software industry to your incredible work ethic, we know all entrepreneurs can learn from you. The perspectives from Carl on his journey of building his own business and helping others build theirs are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Carl, thank you. And for anyone looking to talk to Carl about his journey or to learn more about Owlbot, we encourage you to reach out to him. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or contact me on Twitter and Instagram @Eric_Kaz. Thank you for listening to our KazSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KazCM, the content marketing business inside KazSource, Inc. KazCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KazSource to you. Learn more by visiting KazCM.com.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.